Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we talk about wildlife photography and about the experiences of a great wildlife photographer. Her name, Pat Toth Smith, wildlife photographer. She had more than 20 years of experience. And we're going to visit with her today about her book, Wild Among Us, True Adventures of a Female Wildlife Photographer. And she's had some great experiences, believe me. You may have had some great experiences in the outdoors, shooting photos. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along today. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions or your comments there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Pat Toth Smith, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate having you with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here also.
Well, I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed your book, and it's an award winner, too.
Yeah.
You won a couple of awards, eh?
Yeah, I just won the USA Best Book Award for Animal Pets Narrative Nonfiction this past November, and it's won Living Now, and I even won a bronze medal in the E-Lit Awards for my e-book version.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat because the book is sort of a hybrid coffee table storybook, so they appreciated the stories and the photos in the e-book version also.
Well, I love the stories. I mean, you've had some dandies.
Oh, yeah.
Bears chasing you, moose after you, polar bears, grizzly bears.
Well, you know, people have issues on their jobs. That's my issue. I almost get eaten sometimes.
You know, yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes it ain't so funny.
No. And believe me, I do everything I can possibly do to avoid that. I carry pepper spray. I try to do what the authorities recommend. But sometimes you just get too close by accident, and that's hard.
I remember you got carried away when you were in Churchill.
Yeah, that was...
After polar bears, and suddenly find yourself out of town.
Well, you know, in Churchill, it's kind of an interesting place. You go out on the tundra on these tundra buggies, so you're always kind of safe around the polar bears. But Churchill's right on the Hudson Bay, and when I was there, you know, the ice hadn't froze, and there were a lot of bears. So they were coming in and out of town, and the guide said to me, Pat, you know, if anybody sees a bear, you run into any building. You know, just run. Don't clap, yell, just run. And I was just in the morning out there, and there was a busload of people that were by the bay on the water. So I walked down the block to where they were, and we're all sitting there photographing. And I sort of got into videoing because I do that too. And I turned around, and the bus and all the people were gone. And then I hear this loud bang, like a gun. And then there's a big sign, polar bears right here in the area. Don't come here. And I'm running to town. I was scared to death. I thought, how did that even happen?
Oh, my gosh. But you got some great photos.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, these polar bears are big. I mean, People have no idea. Their paws can be 12 to 13 inches wide. That's just their paw.
And they're going to weigh, what?
Oh, gosh.
800 pounds?
Easily to 1,000 pounds. I mean, their heads are so huge. You have no idea how big these bears are.
Well, I tell you, you got some great photos. I kind of like your backstory here and how you got in. I mean, you started out, you were... You went through several phases, but you were a nurse for 10 years.
Yeah, I was a registered nurse, and it was interesting because I did hospice. That was the last job I did in that career. And hospice is very, you know, rewarding, but it's also very draining. And I was just at the point where I needed a complete change, and I always enjoyed photography as a hobby, and decided to go back to college for it. And I really wanted something very creative, and that was my goal, to find the most creative kind of photography I could do. And so I actually did both for a while till I could make enough money in my career to stop doing the nursing.
And it's a tough, it's not the easiest career in the world.
No, you know, both, well, yeah, photography's not, no. You know, and there's a lot of, especially the one I've chosen, wildlife photography, is very, very narrow. But there, in California, there's a market for wildlife photography. You know, it's in the art market, and that's really where I've settled, and that's where I sell most of my work. But it's hard. I have my work in galleries and, you know, online store, and I sell them at the art and wine festivals.
And managed to make a nice living out of it. That's great.
Yeah. It's been good, and you know it's great. But it's fun to write about it. So I'm now an author too, which is fun to actually.
How does that writing process? Does that differ so much from the artistic process when you're shooting?
That's a great question, because you would think, you know, for me, the writing is very freeing. You know, in nursing, I used to do all this charting all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd have to be very detailed. But, you know, when I write, I'm very free because I know I'm going to edit it 100 times, you know, mm-hmm. So I don't think about grammar. I don't do anything, but I just write. And it's very freeing. But in wildlife photography, I have to be very, very precise. I mean, these animals give you... Yeah. 2 minutes if you're lucky. So you have to be ready. I have to know my tech, you know, I have to be very strong with my technical skills. I have to know the lighting. So I'm very, very focused when I'm doing the wildlife work, and it's actually less free as the writing process.
Well, you know, as I was thinking about that, I know sometimes it's, I don't know if it's blind luck or just being there at the right place and knowing what to do, but you have, I mean, one of your really striking photos to me was the moose in the mist.
Oh.
And as I recall, that was, I mean, a very quick shot that you had.
Yeah, it's funny because that is what inspired me. That shoot was my first photo shoot. I had gone to Yellowstone National Park for the first time, and all these large horned animals were fighting for the chance to mate with females. And it was so exciting to be around the crashing of the horns and all that energy. I couldn't sleep that night, and I went out early that morning, and I stumbled onto the moose. And it was in the sun was coming up, and I overexposed it to create a silhouette. And it was just, it's been one of my best photos ever, but that was the first wildlife photo I ever took. So,
and it's a beautiful photo. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that one has won a lot of awards, and it's really been one of my best ever, but it was neat, really neat.
What did you shoot that with? What did you have?
Well, this was back when we were shooting film, and I can remember I had an old A1 camera, Canon, and I was using, I can even remember the film speed. It was 400 because it was kind of dark out.
Yeah.
And but it all came together. It had no motor drive. It was just a very basic camera.
And a one-shot deal. Or you took maybe two shots, I think, something like
that. Yeah, that was the one shot. It was one shot that worked. And yeah, so it was neat. It was really neat. And I have to laugh because another photographer came up on the scene with this huge lens and was yelling, "Oh, that's the money shot." And I walked away sort of deflated, thinking, "Oh, I didn't have the right equipment and all that." But, you know, that shot is gorgeous. And so I was very, very lucky.
You were, but now you mentioned a film camera, but... I know later in your book you talk about the fact that it's kind of nice to have one of those around, even in this digital age that we have.
Yeah, you know, I still bring one with me because, you know, sometimes the electronics won't work if it's too cold.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you drop your equipment, you could just end up having a real issue. So I always bring a film camera and some film with me because, you know, when you're flying in somewhere where there's no electricity, you know, you have to still produce photos.
Right.
So, yeah, like Alaska, I'll fly into Katmai National Park, and you can't plug in if you're camping. So I bring a lot of my film with me on my trip still.
You know, your Katmai shots are really interesting because not that long ago, I think just last week, someone pointed out that at the Brooks Falls, they have set up a live cam. Do you know that?
Yeah. Most of my customers and collectors are telling me they keep following the cam, and they always ask me which bear is which.
Well, you spent a lot of time there.
I have. I've camped there twice. Of course, the last time I had one of my worst experiences ever, and I had just gotten to the park, and I actually surprised a grizzly bear and her cub. She growled at me, and I backed away slowly. It was one of the scariest moments I've ever had because, you know, I couldn't, my eyes were cemented in the ground because you never stare at a grizzly. And I backed away till I got to the trail, the trailhead, and I was walking, and she was staring at me the whole time, and she parallel walked with me for 20 minutes till I got to the campground where they had an electrified fence. And then I felt safe, but it was really one of the scariest moments I've ever had.
She even hung around after you got through the fence.
Yeah, she did. You know, their vision isn't that great. Plus, I wear netting, you know, I wear mosquito netting and hats and stuff. So she probably just saw this big black blob and thought, oh, my gosh, what is this trying to hurt my cub? But you know, it's kind of an interesting place because, you know, the bears are used to people. And, you know, they, if you clap and yell and make a lot of noise, they get out of your way. And it's only this rare time where you get in too close that there can be real danger. But, you know, it's still pretty intense because you're walking around these trails to the falls by yourself or whoever you came with. And that's pretty intense.
And I was just trying to, I've got your book in front of me, and I was just kind of paging through to find that sort of centerfold photo of the falls, and I'm just not finding it right off the bat. It's a very striking photo of a lot of bears.
Yeah, the first time I had been there, there was easily 35 to 40 bears there. And, you know, they're not, of course, not at the falls all the same time, but there's a lot of bears at the falls, and you know they're not a social animal. Bears,
no.
You know, they tolerate each other to get their salmon, and so there's a lot of things that happen that are so unique to bears. Like the top of the falls, the two bears, that's the dominant spot. That's the greatest spot to be, because the fish literally jump right in their mouths up the falls, and you know when a bear wants that spot, they'll actually waddle in, you know, and then they all open their mouths. and I guess the scariest teeth win. I don't know how to say it, but usually a bear will back away and let the other bear there, or a fight can ensue. So it's kind of this organized way of, you know, keeping everything in balance, I think.
Well, that's kind of one of the interesting things about your book, by the way, was to read little stories like that. Where you were talking about the bears and the hierarchy and so forth.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm not a biologist. You know, it's all my observations. And so everything in the book is what I just observed with their behavior. And it's kind of fascinating because, you know, bears, I think bears and humans have a lot of common things, too.
We are talking today with Pat Toth Smith, who is a wonderful wildlife photographer and authored Wild Among Us, The Adventures of a Female Wildlife Photographer. It's won several awards, the book has, and she's won several awards for her photography, as a matter of fact. So it's wonderful to have her with us. And you might join in. You may have a question about shooting in the outdoors or shooting wildlife with a camera, not with a gun. Or you may have an experience to share as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45 today, we're going to hear from Inga Wischer from Around the Farm Table television program. She's going to share some tips on summer entertaining. So we're going to look forward to that. Right now, having a lot of fun talking with Pat Toth Smith, a wildlife photographer, more than 20 years of professional experience, and the author of the award-winning book Wild Among Us. Again, you can join us with your own questions or comments at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Just, Pat, from sort of when you go out to shoot wildlife, you have what are sort of what's your basic? You know, if you've got Pat, you can only go out with one camera and that's it. And I suppose it would depend on the wildlife you're shooting, but let's talk about shooting deer or possibly moose, elk. What would you take?
Well, I always bring I have a favorite lens I always use. It's a 500 millimeter lens because you don't want to be close. Closeness with these animals is the biggest issue. They have to feel safe and secure that you're not in their space. So I always carry a 500 millimeter lens. I have a 200 for, you know, more wide angle scenes. But and then I have a Canon system, an EOS that I have digital. And then I also have I have an old T90 that's film. That's the one I bring with me, and I love it because it has a motor drive and all kinds of things attached to it. But you know, those are the basic lenses I use. And then I'll have I bring a separate camera for more scenic work. I have that has a wide angle. It's not an expensive one. It's just a little Panasonic Lumix, but. They're very nice now. The smaller cameras do a great job too, and that I carry just for more wide angle kinds of scenes. So I try to limit my equipment. I'm getting older.
Well, how do you hold that? How do you keep that 500 lens steady?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I have a backpack for when I'm out there, but I actually now have a little cart that I wheel it around.
There she is out there with her cart.
It's actually a piece of luggage with four wheels. It's kind of funny, but...
Oh, man. But you have to... I mean, but so you hunker down and use those as sort of a...
Yeah. And, you have to... I always carry a tripod, too, because, you don't want added camera shake for those lens sizes. So I do have a very sturdy tripod I carry also.
Well, and the Canons actually the newer Canons, they eliminate a lot of they're built in such a way to eliminate a lot of that shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've gotten much much better, and but there are so many good cameras. I don't want to just say Canon's it.
Absolutely, but, understood.
Yeah, because Nikon's great, and there's a ton of great cameras out there now.
So we should go back. Here I just jumped right into talking about the book without really explaining how you've got it organized. So maybe let's go back and do that for our listeners.
Sure. What I did is, the interest for writing my stories came out of my art and wine festivals. I would be there and talking about a bear image, and I would happen to glance up, and sometimes the two or three people I was talking to would turn into 40 or 50 people. And, that's when I realized people are just fascinated with how I got these shots. And, they're fascinated with bears and wolves and mountain lions and all these hard-to-find animals. And when I would talk about how I got the shot, it would personalize the images for these for my customers. And they would tell me later that it made it more meaningful. And that's really why I decided to write Wild Among Us the way I did, because it's really my stories of how I got the shot. And there's 9 different animals that are featured in the book that, I went through a lot to get these shots. And so it's really the most challenging stories. And then the photos that I used in the book go closely to the stories. So you actually read the stories and then you could see the photos. And so I think it works kind of as a visual and a narrative experience together. So you're kind of feeling, people say they feel like they're on the trip with me when they read it.
Yeah, it's really a very nice way to do it. The backstories are often very, well, in your case, they're all very interesting, but a lot of times I've seen photos, I have a couple of photos from Tom Mangelson.
Oh, yeah, he's featured in my book, by the way.
He's, yes, and he's... He's quite an extraordinary photographer. I'm sure you would agree.
Oh, yeah, and he's a wonderful person. We would chat a lot when in Yellowstone I'd run into him and we'd be chatting it up. So yeah, he's a great guy too.
So and the photos I have, I've always wished, I wish I had the backstory on that, and I don't have it. And so it's really nice in the case of your book to have that. Now, have you sold, this is a sort of a crass commercial question here. Has the selling of the book resulted in the sale of individual photos that may have appeared in the book?
You know, it's interesting because mostly the books that have sold have been to my collectors and my customers that already own some of the photos.
Ah.
Yeah, so they, I've sold a lot of the books to my customers and people that, know my work. And, it's happened, too, where people have seen the photos and want the actual, larger image of it. And so that's happened, too. So it's kind of been twofold. But I think what I tried to do in the book is make them sort of a gallery image. Mm-hmm. I really spent a lot of energy to try to make the photos look as good as I can in the book format. And so it's kind of but it does. It works both ways. People want to buy the images, too.
Susan in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to thank the author. And I'm going to get her book because I'm interested in bears. I just wanted to ask, back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was I would go, and any guests that came, we would go to the town dump, and there would be bears all over.
Yeah.
So tell me, what has changed now? Because now I don't live there anymore, but my friends tell me that you can't see them there, and I have friends still up in the area, and they try to trap bears so they can, I don't know why, but anyway, I'm just telling you. So what I'm asking is, what happened there? Is it ecologically, protection of the bears?
That is a wonderful question because, years ago in Yellowstone, they would actually do that, too. They had a dump where all the bears would go, and some of the parks actually even had bleachers set up for people to watch.
Oh,
yeah, but, they found out that it was a very unsafe practice for both the bear and people because people the bears became very aggressive and would actually try to steal food directly from people. And so a number of years ago, I almost think it's about 30 or 40 years ago, they kind of changed all that process and tried to, they installed a lot of bear-proof dumpsters and garbage cans in all the parks. And even, places like Lake Tahoe, they've required people to have bear-proof garbage cans and businesses to have bear-proof dumpsters because the bears, once they get acclimated to human food, they can get very dangerous. And so they really want them to stick with the berries and the acorns and all the food that they're supposed to eat.
And I think that's probably the case here. I know in our state, things have, state regulations and local regulations have changed a lot, and the open sort of pit dumps that once existed have, most of them have gone by the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, I think it's a good thing because, bears that get acclimated to food, and if it's related to people, they're just not afraid of people, and then it can become dangerous. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Susan, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Cheryl in Conover, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Good. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have an EOS Canon camera. It's a digital. And I'm just curious to know what the author's opinion might be to what lens to use on the camera for birds. I'm very much an amateur. I love looking at my birds, and I love taking pictures of them. But in order to get pictures of them, you have to have certain lenses. And I'm just curious to know if she would give me some ideas of what kind of lenses she might recommend. And I'll take the answer off air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's of course a great question too. Birds are very fast, and I would suggest, I don't know, I use my 200 and 500 for birds. But the thing that I do, which it's just something that is a preference for me, I've always shot manually. I don't rely on the camera electronics that much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of shutter priority and different priorities, I just have always shot manually. And so for wildlife photography, the main thing is that you have the right shutter speed to capture the bird. If the shutter speed is too low, it'll blur your image. So it's always important to focus on the shutter speed when shooting any kind of wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, if you're shooting birds in your backyard, say around the feeder, I have a good friend of mine, Kurt Westbrook, who set his camera up near the feeder or next to the feeder, and then just remote tripped it. Mm-hmm. And got some very good close-up shots that you're not going to get otherwise.
Yeah, that's a good point, because even from your window, you know, you can get some great shots, and you wouldn't need even very long lenses. 100 millimeter would be fine to do that, where you'd get some great shots. So, yeah, that's a great your backyard, especially if you have trees and any animals flowing through it, is a great way to practice.
What was your most memorable shoot?
Well, it was interesting because I had had a neck injury from carrying all my camera gear. That happened accidentally, and I was laid up for a year. I had to have surgery, and I had all this chronic pain, and it was just a terrible experience. And, you know, it kind of left me emotionally drained. So it was really a trip to Canada to see the bald eagles in up by Squamish, B.C. And, you know, the place I had been to was a rainforest area, and it had this gorgeous canyon. And I'll just never forget, I was still feeling very emotionally drained, but as I sat there watching the eagles fly through, it just brought up all this emotion for me. And, you know, it was able to really heal me. I would start crying, and then another bird would fly through, and the emotions would surface. And, you know, I walked out of that canyon a new person. And, you know, that was kind of the most memorable for me, because it made me realize that these animals can really heal your soul. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of the rainforest area, and just, I still can see it in my mind. And, you know, that was so important for me, and I still love eagles to this day, and I love to hear their wings when they fly. I mean, they're just a beautiful animal.
We're so blessed here in the state because we have so many hundreds of eagles, and, you know, you can find them almost all over the state and practically anywhere anymore, but I've always enjoyed being in the north.
Mm.
And seeing the eagles, you're right.
Mm.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, too. They communicate with this kind of little high-pitched whistle. Yep. Have you ever heard that? It's fascinating,
yep.
You know, to hear how they talk. And I don't know, it's just, they're a neat, really beautiful animal.
We'll take another call here. You can join in, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. You have some, there's some words that you have in there about being a female photographer.
you know,
for the most part, things work fine, but you have to be... You've taken extra precautions from time to time.
Yeah. You know, it's a very male-dominant career. Wildlife photography, especially the wildlife that I focus on, you know, the bears and wolves and things like that, you're pretty much out there alone. And it's a very solitary profession, wildlife photography, because you're there with that animal. But, you know, you're also... it can also be kind of dangerous, especially for me. I started doing this in my early 30s, and I would travel on the freeways, and I've had some very horrendous experiences. I had somebody try to abduct me, you know, when I mm-hmm. stopped at a gas station rest area. He had been following me, and he opened his car door, and he was yelling for me to get in, and I had to run into the ladies' room inside the restaurant, you know, truck stop area.
And you tell that story in your book.
Yeah, it was pretty horrendous because, you know, he was out there easily 40 minutes. So, you know, and then he finally left and I stayed a bit longer. But I've had other, you know, other kinds of experiences that are not as bad but similar. And so for me, it was really, you know, I had to gear myself up, and actually I had to be a little bit more paranoid than the average person because, you know, I never could trust people 100%, you know, being kind of vulnerable hiking alone and being alone traveling and camping alone. And, you know, I follow my intuition, and I think that's what has kept me safe all this time, because if I feel that it's not safe, I'll leave an area. You know, I'll not, even if I paid, I'll leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes very good sense. Victor in West Allis, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'd like to know if the photographer has ever gone into 65mm lens photographing insect. I'm an advocate for the insect world, so that's what I specialize in, and I want to know if she ever decided to indulge in that field, because it kind of breaks my heart when I see photographers like National Geographic all walking past the insects and looking up in the sky for an eagle.
That's a great.
I'm kind of an equal opportunity photographer, and if I see like a ladybug or something that looks really beautiful, I'll take a photo. But I don't have the equipment for that kind of photography. I don't have a lot of macro lenses, so I'm kind of limited with doing that type of work.
You know, I think nowadays, and maybe more than ever before, there are also ethical issues relating to photography of all types, certainly including wildlife photography. I was pleased at the end of your book to where you mentioned, all right, I altered these photos, a couple of these photos in this way, and you explain what you did.
Yeah, there is a lot of, you know, with the Photoshop now, things can be done to alter images. The thing that I've done is a couple of my animals had been collared, and I removed, you know, the collar. I had somebody remove the collar in Photoshop because it's, you know, it's they're sellable images, fine art images, but that's about all I'll do with it. But there's a lot of things that can go on now with Photoshop that was not available years ago, or, you know, not ethically, you know, it was not ethical to do all that stuff too. You wouldn't want to bring another image into a picture, you know. But now it's easier to do all that. But I do that. That's why I put that at the end, so people know. You know, I was actually selling one of my mountain lion images with the collar, and the customer said, "Why don't you just take that off?" And I thought, yeah, she's right. You know, it's because the animal is still beautiful with, you know, without it. You know, and that's really the way it the animal is.
And the other way of kind of in terms of ethics, I was reminded about it when I looked at your wolf pictures, which are actually wolves. I mean, those are wolves that you saw in the wild. And I know there have been photos. I can remember an instance or two where there were photos of wolves that were really taken in a confined sort of pen-like area, but taken to sort of passed off as being wolves in the wild.
Yeah, that's why I put where I've taken the images, so people know exactly where they were taken. And all my wolves are really, from Yellowstone. And wolves are actually some of the hardest animals to photograph ever because they're very skittish. They're in packs. They're very scattered. They actually sleep during the daytime. And so most of my times in Yellowstone looking for wolves have been in the winter. And that's a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, the cold and all, you know, the snowstorms and things like that.
But that gray wolf photo, the eyes.
Oh,
yeah. Those yellow eyes.
Yeah, he was a young wolf, and it was just this moment. I really had the 2 minutes, the opportunity to get that shot, and then he kind of ran off. So it was very, very quick that I was able to get that.
And that was the whole experience of getting shots of wolves was really quite entertaining for me to read.
Oh, good.
Holy cow, there are a lot of people that want to shoot photos of wolves.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Probably you weren't enjoying it very much at the time.
At times, I've had such a... That was one of my most frustrating chapters, I have to say, because so many things happened in there that just did not go my way. I actually had to keep being an how do they say that when you're not negative? I had to keep my attitude up.
You had to be optimistic.
Optimistic, that was the word I was searching. Because between those storms and everything else that happened, it was just awful.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I understand exactly what you're talking about. So your favorite place to shoot, is it Yellowstone, or do you like the Brooks Falls, or where do you like to go?
Well, I still love Yellowstone because, you know, Brooks Falls is wonderful, but I have to organize it, and, you know, it's more of a challenge.
It's a lot further away from you.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Yellowstone is so accessible. You can go there any time of year and find some great stuff. And, you know, the park is a figure eight, so you're always kind of seeing animals anywhere you go in it. And, you know, you see tons of the grazing animals like buffalo, elk, and you could even see coyote and things like that. But they're also, you have the grizzly bears there, you have wolves, you have mountain lions and eagles, so you have the opportunity to see these other really hard-to-find animals. So I love Yellowstone. I guess that will always be my favorite place to go.
Now, how do people find your book? And, well, let's talk about that first. Where do we go to get the book?
Well, I have it at my website. It's ToshSmithPhotography.com. On the online store is a place people can buy all three versions. I have a soft cover gallery type book and also a hardcover. And then, of course, they sell it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and then they sell it into a Kindle and an iBook for people that want the ebook version. And those are, you know, in the Mac is the iBook, and the Kindle is with Amazon.
So, and I should, your last name is spelled T-O-T-H.
Yeah. It's actually pronounced Toth, but so many people struggle with pronouncing it and spelling it. But Toth is okay, too.
Toth is correct here? I thought it was Toth. Oh.
Toth is okay. It's okay. I don't mind either. Of course, my young daughter hates it when people mispronounce her name, but I don't mind at all. I'm so used to it. So either it's a Hungarian name and the pronunciation is Hungarian.
What does your daughter think of all this? I mean, you have to go off on your own a lot.
Well, she's been really good about it. She's 13 now, so she's a little bit of a teenager. But she saw a bear, a black bear, when she was about 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she sometimes, her and my husband come out with me occasionally, but 90% of 5 or more% of the time I'm alone. So she's had to do without me during periods where I go away and do stuff. So
yeah. Well, you got to be alone for that kind of work
yeah.
that you do. You can't you can't take them along.
No. You have to be by yourself, and that's why I said it's such a solitary profession.
I was in the northern Wisconsin on a camping trip, and a black bear came to our camp, and I was in my tent, and the bear came over to the tent and stood up on its hind legs, and it was eye level.
Oh my goodness!
At which time I got out my knife, and I was prepared to make a new door in the back of the tent. The bear dropped out and walked away. I didn't have to make a new door.
Well, you know, it's kind of hairy when you run into a black bear. I mean, I've had to scare off black bear about 3 or 4 times, and it's not easy.
Well, you know, we're talking about 2 feet, you know, eye to eye from 2 feet.
It's
not the kind of thing. Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you want to do every day.
No. Yeah, next time bring some pot tops in the tent with you and start banging them.
Oh, well, Pat, this has been wonderful. You know, and I'm sure we have on our Facebook page, look at it, Cheyenne, we've got Pat's site, website and such. Yes, we do. We have your website on our Facebook page. So if people didn't get all the information, they can always go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and link right in. Pat, it's been a pleasure. So much fun to talk with you.
Well, Larry, I enjoyed myself too. I really had fun myself.
Well, it's good luck with the book, and you can come be on the show anytime with us.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and you have a nice day.
You too. Thank you. Pat Toth Smith. Or is it Toth? It's Toth. I'm going to call it Pat Toth Smith. I'm going to say it right at least once here. Pat Toth Smith, spelled T-O-T-H, and then the hyphen Smith. Great talking with her about her experiences and her book. And her book, again, is titled Wild Among Us, True Adventures of a Female Wildlife Photographer. And believe me, she's had some wonderful and scary experiences. There's another woman that I know who's had some great experiences as well. And Inga Wischer, who hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. I don't know that she's ever been chased by a bear, but she has certainly spends a lot of time in the outdoors with animals. So we're going to be talking with her a little bit about her farm and also about entertaining, summer entertaining. That coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.